Well, I hope that after our lessons this morning in Bible class, you are more familiar with the prophetic office of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think of when you think of Christ our prophet? Christ our prophet. What does that mean? When you give consideration to Christ being our priest, most of us, I'm sure you who believe the gospel of God's grace, you understand fairly comfortably what the priesthood of Christ involves. He is the one who makes intercession before God on our behalf. He is the one who offers sacrifice to God for the atonement of sin. And he is the sacrifice which he offered unto God by which our sins have been put away. Christ our priest ever lives to make intercession for us before the throne of God's grace. We understand something of God's grace in providing Christ to be a priest unto us. When we talk about Christ as being our king, God's people are comfortable. You've been well instructed. We're not of those who foolishly, ignorantly suppose that Jesus Christ somehow is going to someday, maybe, perhaps, if somebody will pretty please, let him be a king. But rather we recognize that Jesus Christ, our God, is king. King over all things. And we bow to him as king in our hearts. We who believe submit to the dominion of Christ, the Lord our King. We delight in his sovereign rule, and we delight to give ourselves over willingly to him as our Lord, as well as our Savior. But what do you think of when you hear Christ, our prophet? Our prophet. Most everybody, I suspect, draws a blank. What does it mean, Christ is our prophet? What does it mean that he has come to be the prophet of God to his people? Does that simply mean that he's a preacher? Does that simply mean that he's a teacher? No, it means infinitely more than that. You know, this ignorance, this lack of instruction regarding Christ our prophet is not justified at all. The Lord God speaks plainly, and four times in his book, the Holy Spirit gives us a word concerning Christ our prophet, and he gives it in almost exactly the same words each time. Now, I want us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and everything you had in your Sunday school class this morning, just file that away in your mind. That was the introduction. This is the message. I'm going to be dealing with the same subject. My message this morning is Christ our prophet. Look here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Him ye shall hearken. Unto him ye shall hearken. And then in verse 18, he says the same thing again. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Turn over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7 and verse 37, I believe it is. Yes. Acts 7 and verse 37. Stephen is giving his last testimony. He's about to die the first martyr for the cause of Christ, being stoned to death for his testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. He says, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. Now that's three times. The same word has been given by God the Holy Spirit with regard to Christ. And now our text for this morning is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, or chapter 3 rather, in verse 22. Acts 3 and verse 22. Here's the fourth word. Moses truly said unto the fathers, of a truth, this is certainly so. You know it so. Peter is speaking to these Jews now, and he's telling them why they ought to believe on Christ. He's telling them of the power and the authority of Christ by whom he has healed that lame man. He says, now, fellas, you know it's true. Moses said unto the fathers. Moses said this. You've heard it. You've heard it all your lives. You know it so. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is given this word of promise and word of fulfillment in almost exactly the same words four times. Wes, that means pay attention, buddy. I've got something to tell you. God the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to pay particular, distinct attention to this prophetic character of the Son of God. Our Lord Jesus holds these three distinct offices as our mediator. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. There are many other types of Christ who held these offices. Some held one and some another. Some of them even held two of these offices. Some were both prophets and priests. Some were both kings and prophets. But none were ever prophet, priest, and king except the Lord Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was a king and a priest, but he was not a prophet. Aaron was a prophet and a priest, but not a king. David and Solomon were kings and prophets, but they were not priests. Christ alone is the prophet, the priest, and the king, for in all things he must have the preeminence. He is our prophet, mighty in word and in deed. He is our priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is none like him. As prophet, priest, and king, Christ the mediator meets all the needs of his people. You see, by nature, we are ignorant, men and women. By nature, we're totally ignorant of all things spiritual. Now, I wish we'd learn this. I know man is a very proud creature, and all men think they know. All men think they understand. All men suppose that they can open the Bible up and understand it and get hold of it and get hold of God, and they can fix God up in a little box and a little nice little package, and they say, now, this is our God. This is what he does. This is what we believe. I understand it. Now, don't bother me anymore. Now, don't bother me anymore. I'm telling you that the natural man is totally ignorant. Totally ignorant of the living God. Totally. You wonder why you can't witness fellows at work and them hear you? You wonder why you can't talk to your neighbors? You wonder why you can't talk to your sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, without them fussing and fighting and getting upset? I'll tell you why. They've got no eyes. And a man without any eyes can't see. They've got no light. Absolutely no light. They're in utter darkness. Utter darkness. You ever been in darkness? I'm talking about darkness. One time in my life, one time, I was in total darkness. It's an eerie feeling. When I was in school out in Missouri, we went to some caverns. I forgot what they were called now, 70, 80 miles from the college in Springfield. Several of us went down into this pit down there, just a cave down in the earth, kind of like the caverns down here near Bowling Green, I suppose. And we went down in that black hole that was lit up. You could see all the formations in the rocks and all those things that they were so impressed the geologists so that they misunderstand everything. But we got down in there and walked around. And for just a second, everything got real quiet and still. They turned the lights off in that hole. You could stick your hand right here and you couldn't see it. You couldn't. It was just darkness. Darkness. That's the way man by nature is. He's in darkness. And he can't see. He can't see. That's the way all of us were by nature. And Christ our prophet comes and gives light. And brother, when he turns the lights on, you see. When he turns the lights on, you see. When he gives you eyes, you see. When he causes the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to shine into your soul, you see. You perceive and understand and grab hold of the things of God. That's what happens in the new birth. That's exactly what happens in the new birth. Our Lord came, or Nicodemus came to our Lord, and he said, Lord, we know that you're a prophet. We know you're a teacher come from God. Nobody could do what you do if God wasn't with you. Well, anybody can see that. And our Lord looked at Nicodemus. Now, James, we try to get hold of this. This fella is a ruler of the Jews. He's number one big shot in the temple. I mean, everybody looks up to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was himself that one that everybody looked to for instruction. And our Lord said, Nicodemus, you're as ignorant as a fool with regard to the things of God. Now, you read the chapter. He said, Nicodemus, you don't see a thing. You don't see a thing. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. And I'm telling you that men and women, until they're born of God, don't know beans. They just don't know beans about the gospel. It'd be easier to teach a jackass nuclear physics than to teach a natural man the things of God. You can't do it. You can't do it. He has no ability to perceive spiritual truth until he's born again. Our Lord said, when you're born again, you can see. When you're born again, you'll see the things of God. You can't see, you can't enter into the kingdom of God until you're born again. Christ our prophet comes to give us eyes to see by the power of his grace in the new birth. Like all other men, God's elect are guilty, depraved, justly condemned sinners by nature. But Christ Jesus, our priest, has made atonement for our sin, and he has removed the wrath of God from us. He's reconciled us to himself by his death upon the cross. Before conversion, by God's almighty grace, all of God's elect are enemies to God, rebels just like everybody else, disobedient to the throne of the Almighty. But Christ our King, as a powerful prince, comes and subdues our hearts. By his grace, he causes us to approach unto his throne. He makes his arrows sharp in our hearts and causes us to fall under his dominion, willingly giving ourselves up to serve him. And even after we're converted, even after by God's grace we have been made to walk in life before God, we're still weak and helpless creatures of flesh and blood. And so Christ our King rules over us, protects us, preserves us, defends us, and provides for us in all things. He is our prophet, our priest, and our King. But today I want us to concentrate on this 22nd and 23rd verse of Acts 3. And I want, if God will enable me, to show you how that Christ is our prophet. He is a prophet to teach us the will of God. He first began to exercise his prophetic office shortly after his baptism. He continued in it throughout his life, and he still exercises it from heaven today. By the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word, the prophet still speaks. Oh, may it please him, now through this Word that I speak to you, to speak and give his word of instruction and life in this day. What does he teach us? He teaches us principally and primarily, and everything else he teaches flows out of this. He teaches us how a man can be just with God. This prophet has come down from heaven and done what nobody ever could do. He's shown us how that God can be just and yet justify the ungodly. This prophet has come down and shown us how that by the sacrifice of himself, law is satisfied, justice is satisfied, righteousness is honored, holiness is maintained, while God, looking on him, pardons the sins of his people. And everything else he teaches flows out of this one thing. First of all, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is that prophet whom God raised up. Notice the text. Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. And what a prophet he is. Christ Jesus is that prophet whom God raised up in the most extraordinary way. When God had spoken to the Jews with his voice of thunder and lightning at Sinai, God had given the law, and the Jews saw Moses as he came down from the mountain, and the glory of God shone on that man's face. He had been with God in the holy mount, and he comes with the law of God to the children of Israel. And those Jews drew back in terror, and they cried, "Moses, Moses, don't let God speak to us. Don't let God speak to us, lest we die." And I'm going to tell you, if you ever see God's law, that's what you're going to say about it. That's what you're going to say about it. These folks talk about living by the law. Give the Ten Commandments as a rule of life. We're going to start obeying the law. They don't have any idea what the law says. Man perceives what the law says. He says, "Don't let God speak to me by that law. Let somebody stand between me and God. Let somebody who's able, a fit person, stand between the holy God and us sinful people, lest we die." And the Lord God accepted and was pleased with their prayer. He said, "That's what you need. You need somebody to stand between me and you. You need somebody who's suitable and able to speak to you on my behalf, and able and suitable to speak to me on your behalf." And that's Christ the prophet. So the Lord God gave promise that he would give this prophet. He would give one who was able to speak and reveal the most secret counsels of the Almighty, and speak to men in perfect holiness and yet not consume them in his wrath. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is that prophet. Our prophet came down from heaven. He is the one who is the eternal, almighty God himself. He came down from God's lofty throne. And yet, our prophet was raised up from among his brethren. The Lord God said in the prophecy, Psalm 89, verse 19, "I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people." And this is what he's saying. Our prophet, unlike any other prophet, came down from heaven, for he's God. But he's also a man. He was raised up from among his brethren. He came out of the tribe of Judah. He was the son of David. This prophet was a kinsman to Moses. He was an Israelite. He was one of us. He's one of us. He's one of us. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The prophet was the child of a virgin. Now there's not anything marvelous, anything great, anything spectacular about the virgin. There's nothing great about her. Mary was a woman just like Shirley Darty, just like you. No different from you. Exactly like you. Only difference was she never knew a man. That's the only difference. This woman was redeemed, justified, and saved by the grace of God. She was a sinner redeemed by the blood of Christ, just like everybody else. And those who exalt Mary and call her Mother of God and worship at her pedestal have exalted one who is just flesh to a place of divinity. Call upon Mary to heal. That silly old man in Rome said Mary healed him of his gunshot wound. Mary did. Mary did. Mary's Mary, nothing but Mary. That's all. But that one who was born of Mary, now he's something else. He's something else. He's God Almighty. He was born by the power of the Holy Ghost. He was born without the aid of a man. He's the seed of the Holy One. He is the Holy One. He's Jesus Christ our God. So that he comes as a man of the household of David. But this prophet is God with us. His name is Emmanuel. He is not merely a man come to teach. He is not merely one who's come to teach us about God, but rather he is God come to reveal God unto us. He tells us by his word how that he himself, while he speaks to men upon the earth, is with the Father. How can that be? Here he is in a body, but he's with the Father. He's still in heaven because he never ceased to be God, though he's a man just like we are. And this prophet has fully revealed God to man. He has perfectly made known all things that are needful for man to know. Turn over again to John chapter 1 and verse 18. John chapter 1 and verse 18. In verse 14, John says, the Word. Now, you remember this. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He lived right here with us. And we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, look in verse 18. No man hath seen God. That's it. Now that's it. David Coleman, you can't see God. You can't see Him. You can't perceive Him. You can't see Him. You can't touch Him. You can't hear Him. You can't call on Him. You can't reach out to Him. You can't come to God. He's a spirit. He's a spirit. I wish we'd understand this. God's a spirit. You can't see God. God's a spirit. You can't get hold of God. Not getting hold of air. You can't get hold of Him. God's a spirit. God's a spirit. You can't hear Him. He doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't have eyes. He doesn't have ears. He doesn't have a hand. He's a spirit. God's a spirit. God's a spirit. You can't speak to Him. Can't do it. But just try it sometimes. Just, I'm not being funny. I'm telling you the truth. God's the Spirit. No man's ever seen Him. No man's ever seen Him. No man ever will see Him. Not in His essence, not in His ineffable glory, not in His essential being, not in His majesty. God's the Spirit. It's impossible to know or have dealing with the Spirit. Can't do it. So Jesus Christ is the Word. No man's seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. He has. He's seen Him. He is God. He is God. Here stands a man. Here stands a man who's seen God. For this man is God. And He's come to tell you who God is. He's come to tell you who God is. He hath that one, that only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. That word declared is an interesting word. It means that He has reached to end to the very substance and being of God. He said, here He is. That's what He's done. That's what Christ has done. He has taken God and showed Him so fully, so perfectly, so completely, that as He stands before His disciples, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you hear Me, you hear the Father. If you speak to Me, you speak to the Father. If you believe Me, you believe the Father. Do you see that? Christ, our prophet, declares God. He's the only one who can. He declares to us everything about the character of God we need to know. So great is this one that when the Jews beheld Him, they said, this truly is that prophet. That long-expected, long-promised, long-anticipated prophet that should come into the world. Turn over to John chapter 4, verse 25. Again, verse 24, our Lord said, ladies, God's a spirit. God's a spirit. He said, we know we're going to have to worship in this mountain. Jews say we're going to have to worship in that one. And our Lord said, ladies, God's a spirit. God's a spirit. And they that worship Him don't worship Him in houses made with stone. They that worship Him don't worship Him in holy places. They that worship Him don't travel to Jerusalem and make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. They that worship Him don't go to the holy tomb where Jesus was buried. They that worship Him don't have holy places on the earth. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman replied, she still hadn't learned to keep her mouth shut. She said, I know that when Christ, when Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Lady, you're right. Lady, you're right. He will. He'll tell us everything God wants us to know and everything we need to know. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And once he said that, that gal didn't have anything else to say. She didn't have anything else to say. Up until this time, she's arguing with him. Up until this time, she's debating with him. Up until this time, she's fussing with him. She's arguing her religion with his religion. He said, Lady, I'm the prophet. So let me hear what he's got to say. Let me hear what he's got to say. Jesus Christ is our prophet, and he's in every way qualified to be one. He not only takes upon himself the name prophet, but he's a suitable and right prophet. He didn't ordain himself to this office, but he was appointed, ordained, and established by God to be our prophet. In the covenant of grace, the Lord God set him apart to be our prophet. And when he went down into the river of Jordan and was baptized, John said he saw the Spirit of God descend on him. And there it stayed. And as I knew, this is the one. For God said, upon whom you see the Spirit like a dove descend and abide, that's the prophet. That's the prophet. He was anointed with the Spirit above measure. God poured out his Spirit upon him without limitation, without measure. There are many, many names which identify Christ as our prophet. He is the messenger of the covenant. He comes to declare it. He is wisdom, the very wisdom of God. He'll teach us the way of life. He's our counselor. Not only was he our counselor to represent us in the council of peace, but he's our counselor to guide us as we walk through this world. He's our teacher, teaching us the things of God. He's our speaker, speaking to us from the throne of heaven. He's our light and our salvation. He's the witness of God to the people. Now, while our Lord was upon this earth, he gave clear and undeniable evidence and proof that he's the prophet that God had promised. What was it? That clear, undeniable, and evident proof that he is the prophet of God was set forth over in Isaiah 35. I want you to turn there a minute. Isaiah 35. Now I want you to follow me carefully. How do we know? How do we know with absolute certainty when that prophet spoken of by God stands before us? How do we know? Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall the waters break out, and streams in the desert. Now this is what he says. When the prophet comes that God promised, he's going to do miracles that no man can deny. He's going to do miracles no man can deny. He is not going to have a little bursitis in his shoulder and say, or you have a little bursitis in his shoulder and he says, now it's healed. Heal, bless God. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to say to a fella who's never walked in his life, rise up and walk. And that man's going to leap and dance like a newborn hart, like a newborn deer. Look at him. He is not going to come along and get on television just before the camera goes off and I've got a vision from God. Now somebody out there been having trouble with their back. Wonder how many folks here that get. They have trouble with your back. God's healing you of that. No. He's going to come by and speak to a man who's never heard a sound. And that man's going to hear and speak back.
He's not going to come along and lay hands on a fella and tell him that God's going to heal your cancer. No. He's going to come and meet a man going to the grave and say to the dead, rise up and walk. And that man's going to get up and walk. This prophet is going to perform by God's power, for he is God, indisputable public miracles for the good of men and the glory of God, so that when he stands in front of you, he'll say, that's the prophet. That's the prophet. That's the prophet. Now that's what those signs and wonders and miracles of God were given for in the days of Christ's coming, and that's what confirmed his apostles as the messengers of the Christ. So much was this evident that when our Lord fed the 5,000, you remember in John 6, he fed the 5,000, actually it was 5,000 men, give every man a wife, and every man and wife two children. That's reasonable, isn't it, for those days? He fed 20,000 people. 20,000 people with a few sardines and a little piece of bread. That's right. And when he got done, they said, truly, this is that prophet. No denying it. You know, our Lord's enemies never one time disputed his miracles. Never one time. Not one time did they say, now that fellow wasn't really lame. Not one time did they say, that fellow wasn't really blind. Not one time did they come along and say, now that fellow wasn't really dead. Not once. Because they were done with such public, clear evidence that there was no disputing it. None whatever. Now you want me to tell you what a sure sign of a false prophet is? Hold on to your seat. We're going to jump a creek. A sure sign of a false prophet? Number one is his message. His message is contrary to the gospel of God's free grace. But there's another one. There's another one. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. In the last days, they're going to come a lot of folks saying, here's Christ and there's Christ. In the last days, they're going to come a lot of folks saying, God's given me a vision. God's given me a word. God's told me what you must do. In the last days, there are going to come a lot of folks who claim to be the prophets of God who will tell you to go worship another God. That is, they're going to tell you to worship contrary to the word of God. And here's a sure sign. There are many, but here's one sure sign that a man's a false prophet. In verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Turn over to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. Verse 13. Here's the proof of the false prophet. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. What are you saying, Pastor? Didn't the apostles perform miracles? Yes, sir, they did. Evident, public, clearly attested miracles of God's power. Nobody ever disputed one of them. Nobody ever disputed one. But those apostolic gifts ceased forever when the word of Christ, the prophet, was made known. No more need for them. No more need for them. We've got the prophet, the word of God. And I'm telling you that every man today who stands up speaks of having signs and wonders and powers and gifts to speak in tongues and gifts to perform miracles and gifts to heal the sick and gifts to raise the dead, every last one of them are workers of Satan. Every one of them. Right there it is in the book. Right there it is. They'll come with signs and wonders. Oh, they'll impress. Lying wonders. Lying wonders. I could spend a lot of time with that, but I'll leave it alone. I'll spend some time with it later. Our Lord, when the Jews came and challenged him about his deity or his messiahship, he said, look what I do. Look what I'm doing. Did God say this is what Messiah would do? That's what I'm doing. Look at the blind man. See him? He's sitting there reading the scriptures. Look at that lame man. You see him? He's walking into the house of God. Look at that deaf man. You hear him? He's hearing and singing the words of God's praise. That's what scripture said I'd do. That's what it said. I'm the prophet. I'm the prophet. He never had to say, I'm the prophet. He said, look at the works. And they said, you said you're God. He never had to say, he never had to look at him and say, now I'm that prophet that Moses spoke of. He said, look what I'm doing. And they said, you mean you're telling us you're the prophet Moses spoke of? That's it. That's it. Our Lord's disciples often referred to his miracles as an evidence of him being the prophet. And when John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Christ, art thou the Christ? Art thou the prophet? Or should we look for another? Do you remember what the Lord told him? He took those two disciples and he said to them, Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. That's enough. That's enough. Here's the prophet. God's prophet. One other miraculous work demonstrates and identifies Christ and his prophetic work is that of foretelling the future. And I bring these before you only just give you a little background. This is what Christ was upon the earth. And hear me, buddy, this is what he still is. He's the prophet. Our Lord Jesus told his disciples, he said, now, there's a fella at a certain place who's got a colt. He said, go tell him the master needs him and bring him to me. And they went and got the colt. You know, that man didn't say a word. That man didn't say a word. He told him, said, tell him now the master has need of him, and he'll give you the colt. And they did. Suppose somebody had come down to your place and say, David, the master has need of your car. Give me the keys. Why? Son, where did you come from? We need to get you back there. But this one is the prophet. He's the prophet who controls the minds of men and the hearts of men and the deeds of men, for he's God. He said to his disciples, said, now, when you go into the city, you're going to see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him home and tell him, said, show us the room where we can eat supper with our Lord. And they did. And it happened, just as he said. Our Lord Jesus spoke plainly of Judas betraying him and how that Judas would betray him, how that he would be betrayed by his own familiar friends. Our Lord Jesus plainly told his disciples while he's sitting at the Lord's table, he said, the man who's got his hand in the bowl with me, he's the betrayer. He's the betrayer. Our Lord told of his sufferings and death, and how the Jews would deliver him over to the Romans to be crucified rather than to be stoned. Our Lord told of the conduct of his disciples, how they would all deny him and betray him, and how that Peter particularly would both deny him and be converted, raised up again by the grace of God. He told plainly of his resurrection from the dead, and he told of the destruction of Jerusalem. He told them plainly how that God would send his armies into that city and he would level that city to the ground. It would be left utterly desolate under the judgment of God. And it came to pass in 70 A.D. In our text, Christ is particularly described as a prophet likened to Moses. Now, Moses was a preeminent prophet in the Old Testament. And Christ is a prophet like him. Moses and Christ received their commission and their doctrine in exactly the same way. You see, Christ, the prophet, is our mediator in the covenant. And he received commandment from God in the covenant. Read John chapter 10. He said so. Moses learned from God, not by angels, and not by visions, and not by dreams, and not even by other men, but rather he went up into the holy mount. And up in that holy mount, he spoke to God as a man speaks with his own familiar friend. And God told him what to say, and what to do, and what to declare. He told him. And Moses came down dead. He came down with God's law. And the Lord Jesus Christ, like Moses, alone with the Father, in the covenant of grace before the world began, got his commission as our Savior, and he got his doctrine as our Savior as well. He got his commission, and he got his message. He got his word just like Moses did as the prophet of God. The doctrine of Moses and the doctrine of Christ was the same doctrine. I hear these buffoons talk about it. Anytime you get a fella hemmed up and he wants to escape, Mark, you're talking to a fella and you quote that scripture, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." That's in the old Bible. That's in the old Bible. Moses taught the same thing Christ taught. Exactly the same thing. That's right. He taught exactly the same thing. Somebody said, "Well, Moses taught salvation by law. Christ teaches salvation by grace." Oh, no. No. Moses taught damnation by law, and Christ did the same thing. I'll tell you what Moses and Christ taught. Moses said, "Sinful man must have a sacrifice." Christ says, "I'm the sacrifice." Moses said, "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Christ says, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Moses said, "The law must be honored." Christ said, "I've kept the law, I've honored it, I've magnified the law and made it honorable." Moses says, "Justice must be satisfied, the sinner must be slain." Christ says, "Here, justice is satisfied. Look at my hands." Justice is satisfied. Moses declares, "You must be without sin, holy even as God is holy." Christ Jesus says, "I've blotted out your sins with my blood. As a thick cloud, I've blotted them out." Moses said, "You must be righteous." Christ says, "I am thy righteousness." Moses said, "You must be sanctified." Christ says, "I am thy sanctification." Moses says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Christ says, "I am the salvation of the Lord." I am that salvation. Moses proclaimed substitutionary redemption and salvation by grace alone. And Christ Jesus is the substitute and the Savior. Do you see that? Moses and Christ were alike in their doctrine. More than that, the law came by Moses. He had the Word of God. And Christ Jesus comes and brings the truth of God. Moses was raised up and sent of God to redeem Israel out of Egypt. Christ was raised up and sent of God to redeem God's true Israel out of a bondage worse than that of Egypt. Moses was faithful in all the house of God. Christ was faithful over all his house, whose house we are. But as the picture falls far short of a person, you know, you can't love a picture. You just can't fall in love with a picture. I have pictures of my wife and daughter. And you know, I never have yet. I'm not a sentimentalist, I guess. I guess I am more than I like to admit, but I ain't so bad that I've ever taken one of those pictures up and kissed it. I don't care how long I've been gone from home. I don't care where I am. I don't care how alone I am. I have never yet kissed a picture. Just somehow or another, that just doesn't strike me as being rational. But it would sure enough be crazy if I've got my daughter standing here beside me and she says, "I'll see you tonight, Dad," and I lean over and kiss the picture. What's wrong with Dad? We're going to have to check him into the funny farm. Or my wife, she greets me at the door and she stretches out her arms. She says, "Sweetheart, it's good to see you," and I pull that picture. Kiss that picture. What have you been up to? That kind of foolish, kiss picture. And I'm telling you that as the picture falls infinitely short of the person, so the type falls infinitely short of Christ. And our attachment is not to the type. Our attachment is not to the picture. Our attachment is to Christ, our prophet. Our prophet. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet supreme. He's the prophet excellent above all others. You see, all other prophets declare the word of God. All of them do. They say, this is God's word. Christ Jesus is the word of God. He is the word of God. This book, you see it? Cover to cover. This holy book, is God's word. Here stands our Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples. And John says, the word was made flesh. The word was made flesh. Now listen to me carefully. I reverence this book. This is the word of God. But a man can love this book and never know the word. Huh? You can take this book and make an idol out of it. You can't take that person and make an idol out of him. He's God. Is that right, Dawson? You can quote the book cover to cover and never love the word. For the word is not written on paper. The word that I'm speaking of now is the living word of whom this book speaks. God says, I will put my words in his mouth. Words of life. Words of life. I'm afraid most people give out facts about God, and they know facts about life. But when Christ the prophet speaks, he gives words of life so that those to whom he speaks live. Amen. Amen. He comes to speak to Lydia. He opens her heart, swings the door open, and enters in. And she lives. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus comes to Lazarus, and he says, Lazarus! And Lazarus feels. It always is that way. If Christ speaks, you're going to hear it, and you're going to live. Other prophets spoke by inspiration of God. Christ, our prophet, is God speaking to men. Other prophets pointed to and spoke of Christ. All of them did. Christ is the sum, the substance, the fulfillment, the completion, the perfection of all that they spoke. All the other prophets began to speak. They wrote to reveal God's message to man. But Christ Jesus is God's message to man. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath one time spoken to us by his Son. He's the Word. All other prophets spoke what they learned from God. Christ speaks as one who is God. All other prophets are dead. They left. And now they're gone. Moses was a great man, but he's in the grave. David was a great man, but he's in the grave. Elijah was a great man, but he's in the grave. But there is a prophet whose work never ceases, and that prophet sits on the throne of glory. And today, he speaks the word by his Spirit through the preaching of the gospel and causes folks to hear his voice. He speaks by his preachers. That's how he speaks to men. He does not
speak by vision. He does not speak by dreams. He does not speak by inclinations. He speaks by this word through the voice of a preacher by the Holy Ghost and tells you what he says.
That's right. When it comes along, God told me this, God told me that. Unless he can give you thus saith the Lord, he's a liar. God didn't tell him. God didn't tell him. I've got to quit. Let me just make two statements. Our text tells us plainly that all who are born of God hear and obey this prophet. They do. Every last one of them. The Lord God says with regard to his elect, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Christ is an effectual saving prophet. The hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's the gospel regeneration. That's how God saves sinners. The Lord God speaks by his word and causes the dead sinners to live. That's the first resurrection. And those who are born of God, those who are called by this prophet, obey him. They obey him. They obey his doctrine. They obey his ordinances. They obey his counsel. They obey his word. Their hearts are molded into obedience. Their hearts are melted into submission. I told our ladies this morning illustrations of this very thing. You find me a fella who reads what God says about baptism and says, I won't be baptized. I'm going to show you a lost man. I don't care what he professes. I don't care what he professes. You find me a man who reads the Word of God and sees what God says about predestination, election, divine sovereignty, effectual atonement, and he rebels and bucks up against it. You show me an Arminian who rebels against the Word of God. I want to show you a lost man. I don't care what he professes. Doesn't matter what he says. God's people don't rebel against the Word. You find me a man who does not give himself diligently to providing for his household, who is not honest, a man of integrity, laboring before God, laboring with men for the glory of God. I'm going to show you a man who's lost. I don't care what he says. Doesn't matter what he says. You find me a woman who will not submit to her husband's rule, to her husband's dominion as her head and representative. I'm showing you a lost woman. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what ERA says. I don't care what she professes. God's people obey. They submit to the Word of God. They submit to the prophet. More than that, those who refuse to honor Christ, those who refuse to hear his word as the prophet, shall perish under the wrath of God. Hear the text. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. If you harden your heart and will not hear the gospel as it is spoken by Jesus Christ, you will hear and obey his voice one day. And I'm telling you, you're going to hear him one of these days. For he's going to speak. He's going to say, depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire. You're going to hear him, and you're going to obey him. It's not a matter of will you hear the Lord, will you obey the Lord, will you submit to the Lord. You're going to. You're going to. It's just a matter of when. Just a matter of when. And I'm saying to you, men and women, hear me what I say. Hear God what he says. You will either hear him and obey him now in repentance and faith, or you're going to bow before him at the judgment, and you will hear and obey his voice. May God graciously cause you to hear and obey Christ our prophet. He says, there is one way of salvation. I am the way. I am the way. There's no way to God but by his blood and righteousness. Come, he's the way. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. He says, come. Come to me. Come. He says, trust me. Trust me. Faith in Christ. What is it? Trusting him. Trusting him. Trusting. Trust me. Lindsay, we got every reason to trust him, don't we? Every reason under the sun. He's the prophet. He's the prophet. He's that one God spoke of. Trust me. Trust me. Surrender. 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 Surrender to me. Surrender to me. Bow down. I'll lift you up. Humble yourself. I'll exalt you. Fall on me. I'll carry you. Surrender to me. Surrender to me. Surrender. Or die. Those are your options. Those are your options. Surrender or die without mercy. God help you to hear the prophet. Amen. Then you can lead us in a hymn.